Well, good evening to each. I love those smiling faces. And welcome to you that have joined us on live streaming. Yes, it's me again. I want you to take a real good look at that lion. Really, really look at him. What does it tell you?
I'm boss.
Huh?
You're saying I'm boss.
Well, look at him. He has been through a lot. That's what I'm talking about. He's an old lion. He's got scars from head to toe. He that overcometh. And he survived. And he's resting. I thought that was kind of cool. And so that's the topic. He that overcometh. The commandment in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 36 through 40. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And truly, if we could always have that imprinted upon our foreheads and within our hearts, to always recall that in any situation, we will truly endure all things, knowing the power of God as we apply our faith in our life and walk in this life. The freedom of choice. This is my memory verse, 2 Nephi 1:15. I love it. Over in the Philippines, they ask, "Oh, what's your memory verse?" I'll say that one. Adam fell that men might be, and men are, that they might have joy. Now, if you just stop there and think about those words, Adam fell that men might be. That was part of the plan of God. The very beginning. And men are that they might have joy through that beautiful freedom of choice. The possibilities is limitless to those that believe and those that apply their faith in their lives. As they walk through this valley and shadow of darkness of life, keeping that straight and narrow pathway before us, and at the end of that path we always have our eyes focused upon our Savior Jesus Christ, and endeavoring to overcome the flesh through our choices by the power of our faith in Him to help us and to forgive us. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time, that he might redeem the children of men from the fall. Telling you what end it was for men to be. And where the joy would come is through this life and overcoming it, knowing all the hardships, understanding those things. Without it, we would have no understanding of joy. And because they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil, to act for themselves and not to be acted upon. Save it be by the punishments of the Lord at the great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given them. Beautiful, simple words that we can read here in the Book of Mormon in 2 Nephi. And we can use those every day of our life. If we thought about these or even read the scripture every day to remind us, to prepare us for the day that was for us. As we continue on there, it says, Wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto men. They're not ignorant unless they choose to be. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and the power of the devil. The power of the devil over the flesh. That's what he has power over. And if we allow it, he has free reign. For he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. Pretty narcissistic, isn't it? It's all about him. As we continue on there, we have a father's admonition, and this is the one thing that brought me to those scriptures in the first place, where Lehi was preparing to go the way of the world, to lay down his life, and he was talking to his children. Last time he had an opportunity to try to persuade them, try to encourage them, try to help them to navigate in life. Living with them as long as he was able to live with them through all the different things, knowing their weaknesses, knowing their strengths. And now, talking to each one. And now, my sons, I would that you should look to the great mediator and hearken unto his great commandments, and be faithful unto his words, and choose eternal life according to the will of the Holy Spirit. I don't think there's a parent out here that doesn't want that for their children, to grab a hold of it, have it sink within their heart, and encourage them. There's always hope because of Christ. As we continue on, the sin, willful disobedience, verse 124, and not choose eternal death according to the will of the flesh, and the evil which is therein. Think about it, if you break it down like that, the willful disobedience. It could be casual, nah, I don't want to do that. Like, make some excuse, or just downright like a young little kid. No, I'm not going to do it. Either way, willful disobedience to those things that they know they should be doing. The consequences of death. Verse 125, which giveth the spirit of the devil power to captivate, to bring you down to hell, that he may reign over you in his own kingdom. You remember my sermon this morning? We have the power through righteousness to subdue him, to put him in chains. That's the power that we have through Christ. And the inverse of that is Satan has the power to do the same thing because of our choice for death, eternal death. The good part, verse 126 and 127. I have spoken these few words unto you all, my sons, in the last days of my probation. And I have chosen the good part according to the words of the prophet. And so, if you would go back there and read earlier on, you see how he stepped through all those things and brought to the remembrance those words of the prophets and the promises. Kind of like what I was talking about this morning, in the sense of not being ignorant and not having to fear because we've been told the things that were coming. And know and understand through our faith that there's a God who's going to be by our side through all of it. God does not change. The Apostle James 1, 12 through 17. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation when he is tried. he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. That is our challenge, really. The temptation comes and we have a choice. We could either allow our flesh to lead our heart and mind, or we could allow the Spirit of God to lead and direct our heart and mind and follow that path. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. It is not of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. I know Satan likes to twist that to make us think that. You can see when he interfaces throughout the words of, you know, within the Word of God, how he deceived our first parents and those kinds of things, how he twists those things to make it palatable, thinking we're doing right. But knowing and understanding what God had commanded us to do or not to do. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Saying that even in the garden, our brother Alvin, he preached a sermon in 2012. It was during a reunion that Pat and I listened to. And if you can look it up, it would be good to listen to it, because he was inspired of God and pointed out these things about what it means to come out of Babylon and how God's word is true and how you can work through those things. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And that could be anything. And it might even sound good. Well, I got to do this because, you know, I'm taking care of my wife or my whatever. I should be doing this and that. And really, there's things that we're putting off on purpose or whatever it might be. And not truly serving the Lord and following him. Satan's pretty darn tricky. And he can get us wrapped up pretty easy if we're not careful, because he knows our weaknesses. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. My dear brother spoke of that many times, Brother Hubert. Our faith, 1 John 5 through 4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And this is the thing I'll challenge all of you, because I challenge myself. I try to challenge myself daily with this very thing. You've got the power through the blood of Christ and the spirit of that you have covenanted with God to put to death those things that so easily beset you. You can do it through the power of the blood of Christ. Either Brother Alvin brought out when Christ was in the wilderness, and he fasted for 40 days. He said, you know, there's something about those 40 days. Maybe if we were able to put something away for 40 days through the power of Christ, that it would no longer challenge us. It wouldn't be a problem for us later on. This may be something to it. Because you're not going to just say, get thee behind me, Satan, and then it's all done. No. It takes effort. It takes the power of God working in your life to desire it within your heart and mind to put it to death. And I'm going to tell you, when you put it to death that way, it no longer is a trouble anymore. When Satan tries to use it again, It's dead. It's gone. And then the Lord says, hey, I got another one for you. You got to work on and put something else to death. That's the beauty of our faith and the power of God working in our lives. To overcome those things, to help us, to endure to the end. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe it? That he lived here on earth and suffered all those things? And he rose the third day. There's been many testimonies concerning it. He's alive. As we sing that song, he's alive. Our faith, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I want these things to just sink into your heart. There's a few things that'll be here. Let it taste it, hope for it, vision it. Vision you there. Revelation 2:7. Will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise of God? Right from the very beginning, where it was banned from Adam and Eve to take, because they had not made the choices that was planned for the children of men. I will give to you the tree of life to live eternally with God. Verse 11, shall not be hurt of the second death. We've made it. You don't have to worry about it anymore. We're with our God. Revelation 3:5, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He's mine. She's mine. They endured. They believed in me. And so ordered their life. Their desire was for me, to be with me. They overcame the world through my blood. My blood will purify them. What sins that they had committed, that they had laid at my feet before they died, I washed them away. No longer to be remembered. They're mine. Verse 21, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. I can't imagine what that'll be like. Revelation 21:7, shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son and daughter. Being claimed of the Lord, he that endureth all. The victory over death, that's our goal. That's why Christ came, to give us that ability to do such a thing. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54 through 58, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the sayings that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. You have to let that sink in. meaning that without the law there is no sin. But we know there is the law. No one can claim ignorance. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's according to our faith. And again, it all ties in with the very first scripture, the commandment, the great commandment, to love your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That law will flow within you in righteousness because of your choices. The great multitude. Oh, I love this one. Sometimes we skip over some things in the scriptures, but this is good. Revelation, the 7th chapter, verses 9 through 14. So the first verses, it enumerates every tribe of Israel and how many were going to be up there with the Lord. They were all the same. So many of Reuben, Judah, blah, 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 all that. Then they come to verse 9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number. Think about that. Of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with bright white robes and palms in their hands. And one of the elders says, hey, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? Whence came they? Where are they? I knew about these over here that were going to come. Well, where did all these come from? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And that great tribulation, to me, is not just that period of time that we talk about leading up to the Christ. I don't believe. I believe it's the great tribulation of life and choice and enduring to the end from the very beginning. What a beautiful picture that is. God shall wipe away all tears. Verses 15 through 17 in Revelation 7. I think about this before I read it. We saw Christ when he was with us in the flesh. He wept several times. He also, the resurrected Christ, wept several times when he was with the seed of Manasseh, with the little children, and with those that believed. So those tears won't be wiped away until we're completed and we're in his throne after the day of judgment, when all things are made new. There's no more remembrance of all those nasty things anymore. Therefore are they before the throne of God and to serve day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, speaking of all those in the white robes, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, no, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. And those tears are tears of sadness, not tears of joy. What a beautiful thought to help bolster your faith and desire to follow the Son of God. In Revelation 21, 3 through 7, continuing on, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." When I read that, I think about Nephi. Nephi, he saw everything that John was going to write in that third chapter of 1 Nephi. And he was able to write so up to that one point, and he said, the Spirit said, "Now you cannot write anymore, because I've given that to my servant John." And he said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is of a thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." What beautiful words. If you get down and you just, this world has just beat you up, and you need to have some solace, you need to be strengthened. What a beautiful blessing to have the Word of God in your hands, to be availed to read and to go to those scriptures, to be encouraged and strengthened, to consider those things, to think about the faith of those that wrote these things. Kept them, and they're in our hands today. Things that were written, we can't even fathom how long ago. The many years. But they were preserved for a purpose. Not everyone had this opportunity to have them in their hands and to read them. And to be able to use them on a daily basis. It's a gift from God. And if we don't avail it, then how can we feel like we're going to survive in this world against an enemy that is bound to kill us, to take us with him because of our ignorance and our willfulness to sin in that sense? Think about that. Thank God for those servants that were faithful. We read that in the Book of Mormon, where they knew there was going to be one that was going to be chosen of God that would come in our dispensation of time. And he would be given a record. And he would write everything that God would speak to him, based on the words that were written in the golden plates. And they prayed for him, that he would fulfill that promise. There were several places where they prayed specifically for him, that he might have strength to do the work that God would do. That's their faith. They prayed for us, because they knew it was going to be in our hands. It said it was going to be in the hands of the Gentiles. They prayed for us. Why? Because they knew that we would have faith and take it to the ancient covenant people for that great work that the seed of Joseph is going to do in the latter days. And understand the things that Israel was going to go through in our day, to be almost annihilated. But we know they're not. To have a homeland again. We've seen it. It was prophesied, and we've seen it. All those things are very important for us to remember. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Just recently, there's been some things that the Lord has worked mightily in the people in the Philippines. They go through all kinds of trials, just like you and I. They're tempted in all the different things of the world as well. Leopoldo is a priest. He was baptized, I think it was in 2013, an older man. He's 1 year younger than me. He was a very, very studious man who heard about the Book of Mormon. He already had a belief in Christ, and he studied and did the very thing that Moroni said to do. Ask God. These things are not true. And he will tell you through the Holy Ghost that they are. And he was converted to the Church of Christ because he saw that we followed, our teachings were the Bible and the Book of Mormon and not all the added things that we find in some of the Restoration churches. He had a testimony of the words in this book. Well, he has a fairly large family, as most of them over there do. He has an older son named Felix and another son that's named DeGrino. And some other daughters and sons. But DeGrino is an elder in the church, and he happens to be the elder that they choose. They vote every year to be the one kind of like, what do you call it? Forgive me. He makes sure that everyone is working and coordinating and everything within the group of ministry. Make sure that all the 64 different missions and locals are being cared for. Anyhow, his father and them, they had, what's interesting, earlier in this year, they set aside some time to fast and to pray. There was some difficulties when I was there in February, and I told them, I said, you know, the only way you're going to be able to deal with this is start to fast and pray as a group and seek the Lord and help that he will help you with these things because they're difficult. And that's the only way you're going to be able to deal with these things. And so they did. And then Leopoldo, he's a heavy man and he, because like all of them over there have onset diabetes and stuff like that. And one day he would, after he had done another fast, it was like a month earlier, and he had been working very diligently. He was able to, through the power of God, we've got a new mission over there. And I was able to visit with him over there in that new mission. Many, many souls, 20, 30 souls were baptized. But anyhow, he was walking and he fell and hit his head really bad and he went into the hospital. I don't know if it was because of his diabetes or whatever and caused him to kind of pass out or whatever, but he was out more recently in July. And that picks us up right here. He went to one hospital, it was the government hospital, and then they moved him to a better hospital because they could not care for him there. This is after the priesthood meeting. We have priesthood meetings monthly. They come together to talk, give reports on how they're doing and what the work in their areas and work as a body of people, a ministry, to do the work that is there for them to do. Anyhow, they were praying while he was in the hospital. DeGrino asked the body of priesthood for a prayer for his father, Leopoldo, which is at the time inside intensive care unit of the hospital. Prayers were rendered for Leopoldo. Now, when they pray like that, they don't one pray and then the other pray and the other pray. No. When they say, let us pray, There's a beautiful harmony like a song. They all pray. They all pray. When I first experienced that, we were in a mission, and I was preaching, and then we got news that one of our young brothers had had a motorcycle accident. And our sister was starting to sob. And I said, okay, what's going on? And so they told what happened. I said, okay, let's pray. So I said, let's kneel and pray. And I'm thinking the old stuff. And I get down, and they started all praying. And I felt the Spirit of God come over me. And there was nothing more beautiful to hear those voices, every one of them, praying for that young man, praying to God that you preserve him, caring for him. What a beautiful thing it was. And so I can envision this, them together, all of them, praying. 30 minutes after the prayer, while having lunch, there's a call from DeGrino's sister, which she told him the words that came from Leopoldo's mouth, and witnessed by his wife, daughter, and grandson, which were inside the room. And these were the words: someone showed up to me, and I asked if I will die. Now, he sent me a video. His father was mumbling and stuff, and he had been doing that the whole time that he was in there, and he didn't know what he was saying, talking. Sometimes it was coherent, but sometimes it wasn't. But you see, he was talking to somebody that came to him while he was in that condition and asked if I will die now. So he asked that person that appeared to him in that condition. Then I heard a voice answered and said, you will live, but you will suffer. And DeGrino's observation, he actually suffered because even sitting, he couldn't sit alone. And Leopoldo kept on saying, he will not live long. He has only 2 weeks to live. And Leopoldo said that he is exhausted and wanted to rest. And so he was then, the next vision, we find that he was released, but he was given more information. An angel took me 4 days to heaven, a heaven-like place, and showed me my place and told me to go back and tell my family. What was the promise of Christ? I go to prepare a place for you. Isn't that beautiful? Tell my family and the whole church these four things they need to know. First, continue. What would that mean to you? Continue. Have faith. Continue in your faith. Second is to endure through the blood of Christ in all things. Third is to be strong. Strong in the Spirit. We've got that beautiful gift within our heart, our soul. I've read about it. In Corinthians, Paul talks about it. The fourth is to take good care of the people, to love your neighbor as yourself. He also said, take good care of the church. That's what he was told by this personage that came and visited him, to give to them. Then he said to DeGrino's sister, help DeGrino. He knows it's a father's admonition to his son. Then he repeated his words from the first vision that he only has 2 weeks to live. I will not be living long. He was in the ICU for 4 days in not a good condition of mind and situation. He even pulled out his dextrose, meaning that he was fidgeting and doing different things while he was talking. The nurse tied him up so he wouldn't fall out of bed. But all this he knows, and he remembers, and he shared it. I share it with you because we need these testimonies. We need them. to help our faith. And I know there's other testimonies like that throughout the church. A lot of times we don't hear about them. God is working. And he's real. And he's there to help us to get across that line. And he's given his all, his son. Will we give ours? May God bless us in this, I pray. And help us to be mindful of those great commandments. And to be a light to the children of men all around us. So may God bless us, is my prayer. Thank you.